Praise the Lord. Well, we had a last month. I really enjoyed what we were doing in Ephesians. Now, if you want to go back there in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 1. And of course, we were talking about believing. It's not believing unless you really turn it over to the Lord. Whatever it is that you say that you're believing for, you really need to cast all your care on the Lord. You need to leave it with Him. You need to submit it to Him, but then believe that He's really doing something about it. And then we went on down and we were doing verses 22 and 23. And it says, "And He has put all things under His feet and has appointed Him the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of Him who makes everything complete, who fills everything everywhere with Himself." And so that is the beginning then for tonight's revelation. And after I left here on Tuesday, we had our class up there at Nelson and Janie's. I'm heading home, and I get almost home. I'm on 160. Those of you that have visited us down there, you know, it's kind of, the road's kind of like that. And I was driving along. There was no traffic anywhere. I was just driving along, and all of a sudden, God was inside of my head, looking through my eyes. And it was just like He was just looking around. No one there, just trees and road. And He was just looking around. I thought, this is really strange. I was afraid to tell anyone. I went on home, unloaded my stuff. I knew the white bass were running, so I thought, well, I'll go down along the lake and check and see, you know, if anybody's catching any white bass. And so here again, I'm on a deserted back part of down here by the lake. It's just road and trees and water. And all of a sudden, He's looking through my eyes again. It was really, really strange. So I said, "Lord, I don't know what this is about. I really feel funny about this." So as I was talking to Him about it, He said, why would you think it's strange? He said, "Weren't you praying in tongues at the time that I did it the first time and the second time?" I said, "Well, yes." He said, "Wasn't I speaking through your mouth while I was looking through your eyes?" I said, "Okay, I accept that." We had a lady that needed ministry, came over. Jess and I were ministering to her. And of course, I try to listen, pay, you know, close attention. But all of a sudden, God was in my head again, listening. I was like, this is really strange. And so I said, "Father, you're going to have to teach me. I don't know." And so I went back and I was reading Smith Wigglesworth. Yeah. And he was saying, this is going to be the norm in the church, that we are going to be the body of Christ, that Christ is going to fill all and all. Mm. And we will be the temple of the Holy Spirit. It'll be our bodies, but it will be God filling us. So it will be God inside of us doing the ministry. Jesus said, you know, people seeing all the miracles and things, and Jesus said, this isn't me. This is the Father in me that's doing this. I just, you know, all I can do is just blurt it out. This is all the scriptures. The Lord gave me all these scriptures in about 15 minutes. And this, of course, this is just the first page. There's three pages of them. I'll do the best I can to share with you what God is speaking to me. I was reading Tommy Tenney's book, one of his latest books, The God's Eye View. And he was saying, as we worship Him, as we worship the Father, and as we worship Jesus, that Jesus is going to actually come and live in us. We're going to see things the way God sees them. We're going to hear things the way God hears them. Our big problems will become little problems, and our little God will become a big God. He said most Christians are looking through the binoculars backward. Galatians 2:20 on your paper there, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. So evidently, this was something that Paul was experiencing, that we really haven't caught the full revelation of this yet. But I want it. As I'm, everything that I'm picking up, I'm looking at, you know, it's like this is where God is leading the church. Not just a few here and a few there. I think this is where God is leading the church. I was looking at that scripture and I shared it with you last month. Jesus said, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. And the Greek word there, that's the only place that it's used as single, but it says, if your eye be simple, is the other definition, or if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. So I think what the whole thing is, as we focus, as 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So when people meet us, and I know we've said this, and even as a little kid, well, you know, you need to look like Jesus, you know. But when people meet us, are they really meeting Jesus? I mean, are we getting the same reaction from them as if Jesus Himself was standing there? See, if they love the Father, will they love us? If they don't love the Father, will they persecute us? Are we going to see the same results that we would if Jesus was standing right there? See? So I think this is where He's leading us. Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10. For in Him, that is in Jesus, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. And the Amplified Bible says, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. John 14:20, at that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. We look at all of these things and we say, well, of course, when I was born again, Jesus came into my heart. And that's true. Yeah, that's what happened. The Holy Spirit, assuredly, as the Holy Spirit put the very Spirit of Jesus Christ inside of Mary.
Yeah.
And she conceived, the Holy Spirit put Jesus inside of me, and I was born again. I have that incorruptible seed that John talks about living inside of me. Okay, but Paul said in Galatians 4:19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So it's one thing for Christ to be born in us, quite another thing for Christ to be formed in us. So it takes all kind of situations and circumstances. We have to let Jesus take over for him to be formed in us. This is the submission that we're talking about, submitting it to him. Tommy Tenney, in his book, God's Eye View, he quotes Brother Lawrence quite a bit. I'm reading Brother Lawrence now from back in the 1600s, who practiced the presence of God, wrote a book, Practicing the Presence of God. And it's like all day, every day, being conscious of God and saying, okay, how are you going to handle this? What do you want to do here? How will we do this? How do you want me to answer that? And so as we do this, every time we allow Jesus to do it, Christ will be formed in us. Remember the scripture that said, you'll never be tested by what you're able, but with every test, he'll make a way of escape. Jesus is that way of escape. The Holy Spirit is the way of escape. The Father is the way of escape. The Word of God is the way of escape. Faith is the way of escape. So we need to be submitting these things, so aware that God's in charge, that God's in control. We say, okay, God, how are we doing this? And then just watch him do it. And then another, and another, and another. And as we do, Christ will actually be formed in us. The Ephesians 3:19 from the Amplified, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Think what that's going to be like, to be walking around on the earth flooded with God. So filled, but you can't fill the vessel with two things. You can't be full of yourself and full of God. You can't be full of worry and full of God. You can't be full of fear and full of God. Something's going to have to go. And, of course, I always recommend, when we're doing discipleship training and all that, don't try to quit sinning, because it don't work. But walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So God wants to do it by displacement. Putting good stuff in drives bad stuff out.
That's right.
And if you're aware of God, aware of God, aware of God, then sin doesn't even have a chance. Temptation has no chance at it. It's when our minds drift. And when we begin to take a concern over here, or a fear over here, or what are people going to think over here, you know, all of these things cause us to be distracted from the presence of God. And all of a sudden things, you know, it's just like, oh my, not again, you know. But Brother Lawrence, you know, a lot of you have probably read his book, it's been around for many, many years, but he said, I don't worry about it. If I veer off, I just repent, tell God, you know, he said, I'm just visiting with him anyway, so I just tell him I'm sorry, I missed it. Here we go. Let's go again. You know, if I miss it down the road, okay, I missed it. I repent. I'm, you know, forgive me. Okay, let's go again. And pretty soon, it's just like that constant awareness of his presence. The Leviticus 26:12, and I started to go ahead and put all of them in. I hope you realize that is the most quoted verse. In other words, the Bible quoting the Bible. This verse shows up more times than any other verse. This statement shows up more times than any other statement. And of course, the last one is in, I think, Revelation 12. If you want to look them up. And here's what it says. Leviticus 26:12. I will walk in and with and among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. I'm going to walk in you and with you. Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Glory being the recognizable reality of God's presence. Christ in you will be the recognizable reality of God's presence. Anytime people meet us, they're going to meet up with God. Whatever that means to them at that moment. But ours is to be so filled with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that whoever meets us has to deal with God. They won't have any choice. Colossians 3:10, and have put on a new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Now that's talking about the image of the Father. The image of him who created him. Now we're putting on the image of the Father. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You're not just dealing with me. If you hate my Father, you'll hate me. If you love the Father, you'll love me. Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So the writer of Romans there says, I believe that we will be in the very image of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the Father. He predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the first among many. Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. And by the way, the word perfect there comes from the Greek word meaning complete. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Going back to Ephesians that we read a while ago, chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. The fullness. God's bringing us into the fullness. He's going to fill us with his fullness. Ephesians 3, filling us with his fullness. There's something really wonderful happening. And everyone that's tuned in to God, you watch them on TV, you listen to them on radio, you'll read their latest books, every one of them will be talking about this. Because this is where we're going. Wonderful things that the church has gone through coming out of the dark ages. Praise God for the Wesley brothers, for instance, that really preached, you must be born again. You know, and we came into that awareness and that you need to be baptized. You know, and then God brought us into sanctification and holiness. And so there was the whole holiness movement, you know. And of course, at the time, it was just earth-shaking. I love to read church history. And back around Charles Spurgeon time, Christians, these were the Christians of the day, would curse so bad and used such bad language that we wouldn't even stand to be around them today. And they never thought a thing about it. They never thought a thing about it. The way they dressed until Queen Victoria said, I think we need to begin to change things. The lifestyle that Christians had was just... And so when this whole thing of holiness came in, it was like, that's of the devil. No, that can't be of God. And then the Andrew Murray got the whole thing of prayer. You need to pray. You need to pray. Let's get the whole world praying. And so he got groups of people all over the world to pray. And of course, the result of that was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Azusa Street, and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And wow, you know, of course, that's of the devil. And then the whole charismatic movement and God pouring out His Spirit on all denominations of people. What we experienced with Full Gospel Businessmen and wow, you know. This is every bit as earth-shaking and earth-shattering as that. Any one of those. Because this is what God has been after from the beginning. From the very moment that God took dirt and breathed and made man a living soul, this is what He's been after. I want to live in them. I want to live with them. I want to live among them. I want to be their God. I want them to be my people. So the day of just being a nominal Christian is over. This is the time to be, let God fill you up. And, of course, one of the main things that, Brother Lawrence kept bringing out was you don't have to stop daily activities. He worked in the kitchen, and he said it didn't matter what I was doing in the kitchen. I did it as unto the Lord. I visited with the Lord. I acknowledged the Lord every moment. If I had to go to town and buy things, I just acknowledged God, and we went shopping together. And we took the goods back together. Whatever we were doing. So he said, it's not like you go and shut yourself off. You stay in your activity, but God will fill you with His fullness. And you and Jesus will be doing it together. You'll be doing the heating and air conditioning, laying bricks, farming, all that you're doing. You'll just be, you and Jesus will be doing that. See?
That's true.
But everyone that comes in contact with you will know that they've come in contact with the living God, because we acknowledge Him. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of Him, to that perfect man. We covered that scripture just a moment ago. To that perfect man. So it said Jesus is the head, and He's filling everything everywhere with Himself. He is going to be complete. So we're not all going to look alike.
No.
Okay? All of us are going to have different gifts. Mm-hmm. All of us are going to have different administrations. We're going to have different things that we're going to be doing. But it's still all one body. The one thing that Smith Wigglesworth is so strong on, he said you can have a gift of the Spirit, of the gifts of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. He said you can have that gift and use that gift without anointing. Mm-hmm. Because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance.
Yes.
And the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And he said, shame on you, any of you that use the gifts without the unction of the Spirit. Never move in the gifts of the Spirit without the unction of the Spirit. And of course, the prophet at the Bethel Church out in California.
Johnson, is that?
Yeah, Bill Johnson, pastor of the church out there. He was in a meeting of the prophets. And one of the prophets stood up and prophesied and said, Los Angeles is going to experience this terrible earthquake tomorrow. He said, it's going to be tomorrow. And tomorrow came, and sure enough, this terrible earthquake, many people killed in the earthquake. And, of course, the next day the prophet gets up, has the newspaper with him. See there, I told you, and I prophesied this, and see, it came to pass. Chris took him aside and said, shame on you. Shame on you. Yes, you can speak it, and yes, it will come to pass. But God's not out here in the business of killing people. He said, just because you have the gift, you have to move in the love of God.
That's right.
And you want to do what God is doing. You can use them. They're yours. He gives them to you and he's not taking them back. But you can misuse and abuse them. And so we need to be so aware of, so conscious of God inside of us and what he wants to do. And I have a whole other teaching. I woke up a little bit early Saturday morning, and Jesse and I wanted to get on the road pretty early, but we were even earlier than early. And the very moment I woke up, I had revelation just all through me. So we were packing and, you know, loading the car, and I'd run out to the car, and I keep a little clipboard with me, and I'm writing this stuff down, and end up with 3 pages of scriptures that I hope to share with you next month of what God is showing me in all of this. But it was marvelous. Or maybe we'll try to finish this out, and then I'll give you that. I don't know. What God is wanting to do is to fill us up. What we should want to do is please God.
That's right.
And that's what next month, if we do it next month, is what can I do to please God? What does he want? What is he after? If we could, you know, just sit down and talk with him and say, what do you want out of all of this? What would you really, really, really like? How would you like for me to love you? Adore you. What can I do that would really, you know, make your day? And this is all of the scriptures and everything that God gave me and how we can make God's day. And if we do that, he's working in us. And we're doing it all as unto the Lord, to please the Lord. And people are benefiting all at the same time. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What if the Father answered Jesus' prayer? I mean, it was God praying that prayer, wasn't it? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Even though he was teaching them, he was praying it. And, of course, if you don't even have to have that part of it. Just go to John 17, and he prayed it again. God is really going to move by his Spirit. You need to make room for him. Don't go to the mountain and just sit on a rock. Make room for him all day, every day, and go about your business. You see the wonderful thing about it. I love the thing of your watch there, because see, you didn't do anything. It just came to pass. On Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit at Azusa Street and Topeka, Kansas. There's a lot of miles between Azusa Street and Topeka, Kansas, and God poured out his Spirit. When you read the story of John G. Lake in the United States, up in Minnesota, Wisconsin area, and Smith Wigglesworth, both of them baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1907. and given the gift of healing mm-hmm. and miracles. At the same, there's a long way between Minnesota and England. Mm-hmm. And yet, God did it. So it wasn't like people telling people and telling people telling people. God just did something. And God's doing this. God's doing this. So it's not going to be, well, we want to train you in this. You know, not going to have anything to do with that. All you have to do is believe. Open your heart. And God is going to do it. Because it's what God's doing. It's this time in history that God says, I'm going to bring this scripture, this Leviticus 26, to pass. And I'm going to dwell in my people. I quoted the verse earlier, Matthew 6:22. The lamp is the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. And it's another study I'm doing right now. We talked about it like 20 years ago, but I really want to redo it again. But good is as good as it gets. God is good. When God created the universe, He looked at it and He said, it is good. See, you can't improve on good. Every time people try to improve on good, they make it worse. It doesn't matter if it's music, a computer program, cars, whatever it is. They say the whole idea is we have to make something different because people won't buy it unless we make it different. But if you try to make good different, there's only one direction to go. It has to be worse than it was to start with. I bought it when I had my first computer back in 1990, Macintosh computer, and it was given to me. The Lord provided it for me. I bought this Bible program for $15. And I mean, it was so perfect. Everything I needed, I used it to do all my Bible work and everything. They say, well, we're coming out with a new software. The only problem is it won't do any of the things the other used to do. And now they've been proved on it more. And now it won't do anything. And they're this very same company. The very last one that they sent me, I put it in the computer, and every time I try to bring it up, it locks up the computer and won't do anything. That's improvement. And so we need to get back to good. The only way we'll do it, the eye. If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye be good, your whole body will be full of light. All we have to do is walk in the Spirit. When George Washington Carver got a hold of the peanut and God said, do this, and do this, and do this, why, he came up with like 100 products. No one has ever improved on what God showed him.
That's right.
Everything that people do to try to improve on it is worse.
I experienced somewhat what you're talking about. We were planting our last field of corn, which was down south of Hardeman. And I headed down there one morning in a pickup by myself. My planter was down there. And I got out here about a mile or two east of Marshall. And I was just driving along. I was listening to Sirius Radio, easy listening channel. And they were playing some real nice music about 9 o'clock in the morning. And I was kind of enjoying it. And all of a sudden, it was anointed. And I became aware that he was in the truck with me.
Oh, wow.
And because I started getting revelation that was way beyond me.
Right.
And I'm just happy as a lark. You know, I mean, in his presence is fullness of joy.
Yes.
And I was driving along, only going 4 or 5 miles, just, you know, getting all kinds of stuff, you know. He was showing me all the kinds of things that was going on and things that had happened to me and dreams I'd had and what have you. And I went around a corner down there, a couple of sharp corners down there in the 41 highway. And all of a sudden, it was just like a cold wind had blown in the cab.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Lord, what's wrong? I knew something was wrong. I knew there was danger in the area, and I was going like this, you know, to see, like where I was, there was nothing. But I went down the road about another 100 yards, and there was a driveway, and there in the middle of the road, jumping out in the middle of the road, was this huge dog. The thing was half as big as a half-grown calf.
Uh-huh.
And I saw him plenty of time to slow down and miss the dog, and he barked at me all the way back. Just yapping as hard as he could yap. I said, thank you, Lord.
Uh-huh.
But the visit was over.
Uh-huh.
But he was in that truck with me.
Yes.
And then when his presence left, I mean, you didn't have to ask about it.
Yeah.
You
mm-hmm.
knew it was there, and you knew something was going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just be expecting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And like Brother Lawrence said, I couldn't hang on to it for very long.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. It's going to increase. It's God that's going to be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to, come on, God, do this, do this. Just be aware. All we have to do is worship Him.
Amen.
And but focus your attention on Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. See, and as we do, and like I said, I have a whole list of things I want to share with you that will stimulate. We don't have to stimulate God. God's already stimulated. But we need to get our hearts ready to accept what it is that God's going to do. You thought the baptism in the Holy Spirit was good stuff, and it is. Praise God for that. But hang on, because this is going to be earth-shattering. And it's going to go around the world all at once. It'll be happening in Russia and China, South America, Africa. It's going to happen everywhere. And it's going to be this outpouring. He's going to fill up His people.
Mm-hmm.
And for some, they're going to like, I don't know what's going on. I know I did. Mm-hmm. It's just like, this is about the strangest thing I've ever experienced. You know, and I didn't even know what to think of it at first. Until He said, well, weren't you speaking in tongues at the same time? Wasn't I talking through your mouth?
Yes.
The same time I was looking out. Why do you think it's strange? It's just different than what we're really accustomed to, you know, going to church and talking to a couple at Bill and Karen's on Saturday, and they said, we're so tired of going to church. We hear the best sermons. They said, we never do anything with any of it. We just go, you know, we go listen and say, wow, that was a good sermon, and we go home. He said, I'm tired of it. I want something else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God's going to do something else.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You saw there on your page, Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The church is going to become the living body of Christ, and it is going to be complete.
Amen.
Every one of you are important parts of the body. It's going to operate the way God believed it would be when Jesus prayed in John 17.
Amen.
Go back and read that prayer again, and read it again, and then reread Ephesians, reread all of Ephesians. Someone, Jesse, can you get Ephesians 3:10 up there?
The purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere.
And read verse 11 with it.
This is in accordance with the terms of the eternal and timeless purpose which he has realized and carried into effect in the person of Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay, you want to read it?
Let's see, 10 and 11. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church and manifest wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Which he accomplished. What is it that God's going to do? He's going to actually demonstrate what he accomplished through Jesus Christ. What was predestined from before the foundation of the world, what God's purpose was in creating the earth, putting man on it, sending Jesus, he's going to demonstrate through the church what he actually accomplished through Jesus Christ, our Lord.